Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Hello there, my friend. Today we have Monica McDonald with Healthy Start talking with us about their work. Tracy Marple and Cherry Barbary will talk about the University Center Club and all their doings. Tim Linnefelt has another edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report with Georgia Tech's game upon us tonight. And Miriam Dady with another guest in the Business Spotlight. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. And by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and car concept. We're your one-stop shop for Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Tailgating starts here at Truck and Car Concepts. Get your free tailgate pong game with your purchase of any item $500 or more. A free tailgate pong game for your next tailgating party.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Your free tailgate pong game this week with any purchase of $500 or more at Truck and Car Concepts across from Kraft Nissan on Mahan Drive.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
So here we are, my friend, again on another exciting edition of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your humble host, bringing you all the cool things going on around town with some very cool people who are doing those things. And you know what? You're probably one of them. We just haven't gotten you on the show yet, so be patient with us. Or if you're not patient, just email us. You know, we got an email address. Topics@TallahasseeTalks.com is there just for you. If you would like to be on the show, you can certainly suggest that. Nothing improper there. Or if you think of a topic or a guest that you think we would like to talk about or a person you'd like us to talk to, you can email us that. And it's a pretty simple thing to do. Topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. That's the website, too, by the way, of course. TallahasseeTalks.com is where you're going to find all of the shows that we've been bringing to you of late. And did you know you can download the podcast and follow it that way? Keep that podcast app on your phone informed with the latest in this wonderfully ongoing tradition now. We're in our sixth season. Can you believe this? And in so doing, we've talked with everybody, I mean, or a lot of people, from First Lady Ann Scott to Eric Barron, county and city officials, organizations abounding around us, nonprofit groups that work hard to bring services to the citizens of this region, not the least of which and not the least of whom would be Monica McDonald and all of the good people over there at Healthy Start Coalition for the Big Bend. We're going to talk to Monica later in the show, so she'll be with us actually in the second hour. Great work that those folks are doing, this coalition that is designed as a sort of public-private cooperation. They are a nonprofit organization that receives some funding from the state legislatively mandated work. This all happened back in the days when Lawton Childs was our governor. Did I say that in an awkward way? Yes, of course I did. But you get the point that there are state funds set aside annually for this purpose, and they benefit from that, as do then we at large, and those particularly who benefit because they are there to provide information and resources and instruction and such for moms who are expecting. And we'll find out, too, from Monica McDonald, who is really responsible for we'll call it the communication of their mission as the sort of marketing person, I guess, and communications person over there She's coming to tell us more about their mission and their history and all the good things they're doing. It's a remarkable thing, and especially in light of the fact that we've seen some mortality rate increases. Infant mortality rates are actually up in Leon County, and I'm going to check in with her about that to verify that. I think that's true from your years past. So we got to find out why that's going on and what they're doing to help curb that and take care of these moms that are expecting. And speaking of expectancies, of course, we have tonight's game, Florida State University football, engaged in this classic battle with Georgia Tech and Yellow Jackets, right? Yeah. The Yellow Jackets, Georgia Tech, playing Florida State University away. So the home team, Florida State Seminoles, will be playing away tonight. It's on ESPN2 at 7 o'clock. Our good friend and contributor, Tim Linnefeld, is here to talk about that with us. So the Linnefeld Sports Report is coming up here shortly. Now, Tracy Marple and her associate, Cherry Barbary, are both working very hard with all that goes on over there at the University Center Club. So they got some pretty spentabulous things going on, and there's a healthy amount of contribution they make to the community. I dare say there probably isn't somebody in business who hasn't at one time or another attended an event being hosted there at the University Center Club, their grand ballroom, or perhaps one of their other meeting rooms, for many years being a great spot for such things like, like the Chamber of Commerce. They use the facility over there for their women's forum that happens periodically. How many wedding receptions, my goodness, and other nonprofit organizations like the local MS chapter, multiple sclerosis people, have their annual luncheon there. I mean, there's just countless numbers of organizations and families that participate by being a part of the University Center Club. And so whether you're a member or not, chances are, these folks have done a pretty good job of providing a very nifty way and a handsome way of conducting business or celebrating some cool thing like a football game. Of course, a great way to watch football is to be there at the University Center Club. So we'll find out from Tracy and from Cherry what's going on over there with that. And, of course, we do have the very lovely and always able Miriam Dady standing by with another edition of The Business Spotlight, which, you know, is our way of trying to tip our hat to the local entrepreneurs, business owners who have created solutions and bring services and products to us consistently enough. And as we celebrate local, we like to showcase each week, whenever Miriam has the opportunity, the people who make that happen. And so I think we've got with Miriam this week, Nate Prosser, who's going to be talking about Tallahassee nurseries. That'll be fun. And, you know, they're going into the part of the year when the nurseries, Tallahassee nurseries over there, gets really kind of warm and fuzzy, I guess you'd say, going into the holidays with all of their holiday decor and, you know, the poinsettias that eventually will arrive in great number and Christmas trees and spiced cider. It's a cool thing. Anyway, so Nate will be with us and with Miriam to talk about that stuff. And we are going to give our own tip of the hat to some of our sponsors here. You hear them regularly as part of this whole work that we do. People like Truck and Car Concepts and Wooden Glass. I mean, these are long-standing relationships that we have with these advertisers, businesses in town who believe, as we do, that Tallahassee is worth celebrating. And we got a lot of reason to say thank you for what happens in this town. So when we do that, we think of ways to congratulate one another, like send out cards. which is a cool thing. And they sponsor our business spotlight. And the good folks at A Country Rose Florist. That's Annette McGuffey and her team. Now in their new location there at 250 East 6th Avenue. They're part of the Wedding Suite, a collection of wedding professionals that all are housed in one spot for you. That's a cool concept. And, of course, the Country Rose Florist brings you the best in floral design and fresh-cut flowers and catering, and on it goes. Annette McGuffey has been doing this since, goodness, longer than she would care to admit, I suppose. I've known her for 30 years, so, and she was doing it when I met her. But it just goes on, and it gets better and better there at A Country Rose Florist. You can find them online at acountryroseflorist.com.
The holidays are coming. And that means parties and fun and out-of-town guests. That's why now is the time to shower up with a beautiful custom shower enclosure from Wood & Glass. Wood & Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. They've designed and installed tub and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Wood & Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Wood's top-of-the-line bath enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up with style. Call Wood & Glass today, 222-5781, or visit us online to see examples of the luxury and style that has made Wood & Glass the favorite among homeowners for three generations. You'll find us at woodandglass.com, W-H-I-D-D-O-N. Widen, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by pushtheenvelope.biz.
Hello again, my friend out there in Tallahassee. It's Miriam Dady with Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I'm so glad you came back to listen. If you're a new friend of mine, I'm so glad you found me. I have a terrific guest today. Nate Prosser with Tallahassee Nurseries is here. Everybody listening knows that we're in the throes of tailgate season. We're about to hit all of the holidays, one right after another, like a slinky on a staircase. We've got Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas on the horizon. And there's a lot to do outside. It's my favorite time in Tallahassee. Nate, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I want to begin with telling you that I've been going out to Tallahassee Nursery since I was 13 or 14, getting my little radio flyer, walking all over the property. It's like a little vacation.
Well, great. That's good to hear. That's a similar way as how I started.
When was that?
20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, I know. It kind of gets under your skin. And, you know, I might not end up with much. I might take my radio flyer and it has one little tiny aloe plant by the time I'm done shopping. But I feel like I learned so much when I'm out there. And I want to kind of pick your brain about the nursery, yes, but also about some ideas of what people can do in their yards over the next few months, what they can do to decorate their homes, and also how they can maximize their dollars if they come to see you. So let's begin with just problem solving. Are you the guy at Tallahassee Nurseries that when I call up and I've got a problem, you're the one I talk to?
I am. my staff as well. I'm not the only one. I have a lot of great people that I work with that really help out with problem solving. I guess we're all problem solvers. But yes, it is a fun time of year. It's a great time to be outside. Productivity is high because of the cooler temperatures. You can get a lot more done in a day as far as, you know, working and labor. It is a great time of year to get the yard cleaned up, and we have, you know, the holidays coming. We have mums, we have, you know, cool weather, seasonal color coming in stock. There's a plethora of annuals that can be planted as far as your gardening vegetables go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are doing miniature gardens these days in pots and containers instead of doing your traditional raised bed garden.
Hey, I've got my earth box.
Sure, yeah. A lot of people are doing that, and they're even growing stuff inside and outside. But again, it's a fun time of year. It's not as crazy hectic as the spring. It's actually, Miriam, the best time of year to plant. October, November is ideal. December is still a great time of year to plant. Getting
yeah.
those roots established before the plant goes to putting on foliage growth in spring
yeah.
is
yeah.
a lot less stressful on the plant. Spring,
you know, something I love going out there to your place, especially when it hits the holidays. I don't need a designer. If I'm on a budget, I just walk around Tallahassee Nurseries, and the way you guys decorate and the way you use plant combinations, I make my plans.
Sure. We continuously change our display venues, as you know, as a regular
yeah.
customer,
yeah.
To help inspire creativity with our clientele. Also, what, you know, technology has brought us into a new era where we have people that come in and bring their, you know, their plan or their iPhone pictures. I've even had customers bring in videos. And so, you know, they bring in, you know, what can I help you with? Well, here's my entire backyard, and I'm looking into a camera, you know, looking at a panoramic of an yeah. entire backyard. So it really helps us to advise or educate the customer towards what they want. And listening's a big part of it. You have to get a feel for what their needs and wants are, and then utilize, you know, our knowledge to satisfy that, basically.
That's good. Yeah, because a lot of us will turn on the DIY channel, and I want that. And it might not be realistic for the kind of yard I have or the elevation or the soil or anything else. When you advise people, do you have a team that will go and look at people's yards for them?
Yes, ma'am. We do have a landscape design team of six knowledgeable designers that can come out and meet with you and do either just a consultation if you're wanting to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to advise and educate and help you plan. We also implement the project. So if you want the full nine yards, we can certainly do that too. But we're here to help you each step of the way, if you will, on, you know, making your dream a reality.
So let's say I'm a young state worker. I live in Midtown in an apartment, and I walk into Tallahassee Nurseries, and I say, Nate, I've got a $75 budget to make my little apartment cuter. Is that something Tallahassee Nurseries can work with, or do I need to go to a big boss?
Sure. No. We have something for everybody. I mean, if you know, even if you don't have a yard, we have plants indoor as well as outdoor. We have one of the largest greenhouses in Tallahassee that has an abundance of house plants.
How can the listener to this program find more information from you?
I would say our website would be one of the best ways. We do have blogs. We've got, you know, Twitter.
What's that website?
TallahasseeNurseries.com.
Easy.
Yes.
TallahasseeNurseries.com. I also know you've got an upcoming feature in Tallahassee Family Magazine that'll be out mid-November-ish.
Yes, ma'am.
In their holiday magazine at the grocery store. And the best way to do it, folks, is to go out to Tallahassee Nurseries. I guarantee you it's an outing. The kids will have fun, Everybody will have fun doing it. It smells fantastic over the holidays. So, Nate, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I encourage everybody to check them out because it's an easy way to refresh the place you live is with a plant. So thank you, friend, for being here. Thanks for coming to listen in on Tallahassee Business Spotlight. And I look forward to talking to you next week.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Todd Cutlip, General Manager of Browning Moving and Logistics in Tallahassee.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The Linnefelt Sports Report is on the air here with the very lovely Tim Linnefelt. How are you, sir?
Oh, you flatter me, Brian. I'm good.
Lovely Linnefelt, they're fond of saying.
We're going to worry. We're gonna have to work on that one.
around the hallowed halls of Seminoles.com.
That's right.
Where otherwise you spend a fair amount of time helping all of us poor, uneducated, uninformed, lesser informed folks stay abreast of things like Florida State football, which has to be kind of a neat job for you these days. Because, let's see, yeah, that's right, they're 6-0.
Yeah.
So lots of good stories to tell, but dun, 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 dun. Here comes the rest of the season, and we got Georgia Tech and Syracuse and Clemson. Those are not the lighter side of this whole schedule, are they?
No, particularly the game tonight at Georgia Tech and at Clemson, two road games, games that at the beginning of the season we thought would be really formative for Florida State's schedule. And Georgia Tech has kind of struggled a bit this season, but I still think that they're pretty they still have the talent necessary to make the game tight, and the way they play, their style of play causes problems for a lot of teams. Then, of course, Clemson, it's the de facto championship game for the Atlantic Division and the ACC. Whoever wins that between Clemson and Florida State usually goes on to win the league. So, yeah, that'll be a pretty big one in a couple weeks here.
Yeah. So, with all of, as far as we know, we are healthy enough to take on these here Georgia Tech players. We've had our concerns about Dalvin. They're saying that continually his old hamstring injury is healing up nicely. But everybody's watching that left hand of his every time he's running down the field. And he starts to grab for that left leg. We're like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
I think we're hurting as much or more than he is.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's interesting, when you see an injury like that, my first thought is always, well, he's just going to have to deal with that for the rest of the season. It's just going to be, you know, touch and go.
It's a devilish thing, from what I understand.
But then, from what he has said and from what Jimbo Fisher has said, is that they actually think it's getting better the more that they rehab it and the more that they work on it during the week.
Yeah.
We've heard reports that say that he's been extremely diligent as far as getting his treatment and doing all the things that he needs to do. And he actually said that he feels like it's getting stronger. It feels better this week than it did the week before going into the Miami game, and after the Miami game he feels better now than at any point since pulling up with it. So again, you know, him on one good leg or one and a half good legs is better than a whole lot of people with two good legs. So if he were to actually get fully healthy, it would be a really big deal. But you know, it's until he shows you he can't do it, and he hasn't yet. I think you got to feel pretty good about him
in terms of offensive strategy. He certainly is the more significant part of that whole scene, even against the talents of our dear quarterback, Olsen. But, I mean, because if you take Cook out of that equation, right, that gets even tougher.
Sure. Well, you know, if you take anybody's best player away, they're going to have a hard time. But I do think that Everett has been a lot better, especially over these last 2-3 weeks, than he was at the start of the season, when I think you know, you had reason to maybe be concerned. But fun little note for you is that Everett's actually increased his passing yardage each of the last four games. For a month now, he's gotten better at 370 yards and 3 touchdowns against Louisville. And that's a good game, no matter how you slice it. So I think that, you know, it's easy to forget, you know, that guy's a fifth-year senior, he's played on big stages, played at Notre Dame, but he's only been here at Florida State for now a couple months. And early in the season, he had been practicing with new teammates for basically 1 month.
Yeah.
So maybe we should have been expecting a bit of a steeper learning curve.
Right.
But it seems like he's really kind of coming to his own now.
Well, we forget too often, I think, especially those of us who maybe are not as better students of the game, that this is in fact a team sport, and timing,
it is indeed,
and chemistry and anticipation and all of that sort of that's a bit more intuitive about how these players work together. Man, that is a big part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, and there are all sorts of little things like that. You know, Florida State had trouble with the snaps in the first few weeks. The snaps weren't getting there whenever thought they were going to, and then that was kind of throwing off the timing, or the rapport with the receivers, knowing exactly where he's going to be. You think he's going to be an inch to the right and he's an inch to the left, things like that. A lot of little things that in and of themselves probably wouldn't have been that big of a deal or even that noticeable, but you know, when you put them all together and stack them on top of each other, it ends up looking like a bigger issue, and it seems like some of those little details have been ironed out too.
And of course, we have the opponent watching those same things and those looking for those weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about tonight's matchup.
I think Georgia Tech, again, like I said a little bit ago, when you looked at the season, when you looked at the schedule when it came out in February, you thought, oh, at Georgia Tech is going to be a tough game, a team that gave FSU all it could handle in last year's ACC championship game, went on to win the Orange Bowl. It looked like it'd be a pretty tough matchup. Well, now Georgia Tech's lost five straight games, and you're thinking, oh, well, maybe not. But but they run a really unique offense. It's the spread-based triple-option offense that kind of looks like football did when your great-grandfather was playing it. You know, it looks like they're like Princeton and Yale playing in 1918 or whatever. Lots of they don't pass the ball hardly at all. Exactly. Lots of misdirection and deception, things like that. Design and what it really does is take teams with superior athleticism and speed and uses it against them because it gets guys running in the wrong direction.
Right.
So it'll be a really good test, I think, for Florida State's defense. Again, Georgia Tech has lost five straight games, so somebody's been able to figure it out.
Hmm.
But I guess I don't think, you know, not all 2-5 teams are created equally, and I think that Georgia Tech is probably a little bit better than your typical team that has lost five straight.
Okay, well, and that that game time is tonight.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. That it is in Georgia, at Georgia Tech. We'll be watching those of us who aren't traveling to the game, as, of course, you are.
That's right.
We'll find out from them how it works out.
Yep.
The observation, too, I think, that might be a bit lesser informed is the fact that as we progress through the season, there seems to be a kind of, it's a kind of underdeveloped side of their offense. There's like this reliance then, of course, on Dalvin Cook and that relationship. But you start looking for other ways in which they can move the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that hasn't happened as much. I mean, am I not seeing something there? I mean,
well, certainly for the first month of the season, I think that was a big concern. I think they're getting better at that. You see, especially against Louisville, I thought Everett had his best game at Florida State. The offensive line had a pretty tough first half, but played really well in the second half. And then you see what I think is one of the surprises of the season is that Kermit Whitfield, who's one of the shortest players on Florida State's roster, about 5'8", 5'9", has emerged as maybe their most dependable receiver, certainly their most dangerous receiver.
Yeah.
Had a 70-yard touchdown against Louisville.
Okay.
He you will remember, had the kickoff return against Auburn in the national championship game. Well, now he said he wants to be known as more than just a kick return. He wants to be known as a good receiver, too. And that process has taken a little while, but it seems like it's finally coming to fruition.
It's coming together. Speaking of our friends to the south, the Miami matchup was fraught with all kinds of, we'll call it backstories and off-field stories about the fans, as well as the team, that had to do with, I don't know, people throwing stuff. And
I guess I heard about that afterward. I didn't see any of it. I'm usually kind of focused in other areas.
Well,
you know?
I would imagine. And by the way, folks, if you don't do this, you ought to follow Tim on Twitter because he is pretty proficient about keeping us posted. And I remember one tweet that you'd sent in which Cook had just broken a record in his rushing yardage. And I forget which one.
There were a few. I don't know which one it would have been.
Several, but But in fact, that's a neat thing to do, folks. So I encourage you to find Tim Linnefelt there on Twitter.
And get what you pay for on
Twitter.
Yeah,
baby. Well, you know, we like what we get, too. We're going to continue talking Florida State football here. We've got Clemson and then, of course, by obligation, Florida. So we've got Tim Linnefelt here, the Linnefelt Sports Report, keeping us honest. What are you hoping? Talk about tonight's game. What do you think will be our best half? Is it going to be
the typical
second half readjustments, or will we actually see some dominance right up front?
Well, you really would be betting against the trends if you thought that the first half would be the better of the two halves, and that's really dating back to last season, and then on into this season as well. Although, you know, against Miami a couple weeks ago, I thought Florida State looked great in the first half and was sort of holding on for dear life in the second half. So, who knows? But you know what I want to see, what I think is going to be most interesting. I think Florida State's offense is going to be able to move the ball. I don't think Georgia Tech's very good on defense. So I think Florida State's going to be able to move the ball and score.
Yeah.
My question is going to be for Florida State on defense, and I think this game's a pretty good measuring stick for how far they've come in a year. Because if you remember, they played Georgia Tech in Charlotte in the ACC Championship game last year. And really had a tough time with Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech scored 5 touchdowns. FSU beat them 37-35. Which you know is a little tighter than a little close for comfort. And Florida State's rush defense has been pretty fantastic this year. Mm-hmm. Louisville couldn't run the ball against them. Miami couldn't run the ball against them. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for that to translate to Georgia Tech, but if it does, because of what Georgia Tech does, but if it does, I think it's a really encouraging sign.
Very cool. Linnefelt Sports Report is on the air here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You stay with me. We've got more right after this.
In business, time is money. And in times like these, money is tight. Every second counts. Downtime can be deadly. That's why Tallahassee business owners trust the good guys. Lawson and Lawson Electrical Services. They keep business up and running hard with reliable, proven, first-time right service. Lighting, expansion, maintenance, replacement, repairs, and installations. Lawson and Lawson giving business owners and homeowners better solutions, too, with energy-efficient green ideas to help squeeze every penny. That's what business owners need, and that's why they call Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. And you should, too. Don't waste precious time. Trust the good guys at Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. Call 562-4111 or on the web at llelectrical.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Tim Linnefelt, the Linnefelt Sports Report, one of the very favorite features here at Tallahassee Talks, with our very good friend Tim Linnefelt, who has really, for a lot of us, helped us better engage, I would say, with the action of the game. He's tweeting throughout. He's on site. He's in Georgia tonight for the Georgia Tech game. Let's get past this weekend a little bit and think about Clemson. What do you hope for? What do you think will happen, and all that kind of stuff? What's our biggest challenge, I guess?
Well, first and foremost, they got to get past Syracuse. But assuming on Halloween, no less. But assuming that they do, you go to Clemson, which is always one of the marquee games, the marquee game of the ACC schedule. And if both teams have held up their end of the bargain, one of the marquee games on a national stage. Look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it to you. Clemson's a tough place to play. Florida State has won there just once since 2001. But the good news is that was the last time they were there when Jameis Winston and company rolled up and ripped off 51 points. And I think that was the game that really sort of announced Florida State as a special team and a national title contender, maybe the national championship favorite, was when they went and beat Clemson the way that they did. So here we are again 2 years later with certainly a different team for Florida State, but also a different team for Clemson. There's a pretty solid chance that both teams are undefeated going into that one, and both teams potentially in the top five. Right. And you know, maybe a elimination game for the playoff. Whoever wins will certainly be in the driver's seat, not only to win the ACC, but to finish their season undefeated and get a seat at the table for the 14 playoffs. So, no, stakes will be really high. Yeah. I expect it'll be a night game. It should be a lot of fun.
When Florida State has the ball against Clemson, what do they have to do?
Well, in a game like that, they have to do something that I think they've actually been really, really remarkably good at this year. They need to hang on to the ball. The last thing you want to do when you go on the road to a hostile environment, and Clemson is the most hostile environment in the ACC, you can make a case for Florida State, but it's one of those two. You can't turn the ball over. You have to hold on to it. And here's a fun little stat for you and your listeners, Brian, is that through six games, Florida State has zero offensive turnovers, have not a single solitary one. They're the only school in the country to not have an offensive turnover. And this, you probably wouldn't be surprised to know that that is, in fact, a school record. Florida State had never gone six straight games without an offense. I think they'd never gone three straight games, much less six. So a really impressive thing there. And it's always important. But again, when you're on the road and in a place that's going to be difficult to play, you know, if you come out and turn the ball over in your first or second drive, that place, which is already full of energy, starts to feel like it's closing in on you.
To mention you're wearing out your defense.
So it's all part of that. And I know it's kind of like football by numbers. Oh, what do you think the key to do? Don't turn the ball over. Well, thank you for that. But really, you know, sometimes it is that simple, and I think it is that simple for Florida State.
Yeah, and penalties. I mean, I think that they've been managing the ball well on that level.
Yeah, relatively clean. A few things. They've had some weird stuff with some of the targeting penalties.
Right.
I know that they've kind of have given Jimbo Fisher some headaches for what is a targeting penalty and what isn't and that sort of thing. But more often than not, the kind of penalties they've had have mostly been penalties you can live with, and it hasn't been too big of an issue so far.
Clearly, too, Coach Fisher has this ability to manage the clock quite well, I think. And I mean, I've looked at clock management, time management for them. There have been some remarkable uses of timeouts and you know, hurry up sort of situations where he's managed it well.
And there are plenty of coaches that can't do that. You see it every week, and it's just sort of like they're asleep at the wheel. Yep. You've seen it both at the pro and in the collegiate level.
Well, and he has this sort of conservative approach. You know, a win is a win. He doesn't have that need, I guess, to glorify every situation. He doesn't try to run up the clock or run up the score necessarily, it seems to me. He plays for the win. And if it's a 2-point win or a 20-point win or a 40-point, I mean, it's a matter of getting in, getting it done. And so
I think we
don't see a whole lot of razzle-dazzle, no trickeration.
Not much. And I think he would probably tell you, it's just, you know, it's not that he's opposed to those things, but kind of like you alluded to, he's going to do whatever he thinks gives you the best chance to win.
Well, he hasn't been reading the Colts playbook lately.
No,
so he's
not
too impressed with
trick plays. That was really something, wasn't it? I was watching that live. I was sort of falling asleep, and I looked up, and it was like I was dreaming. What are they doing?
Are we still playing football?
Well, certainly they're not going to snap the ball. And then they snap the ball. So, hey, you know, full of surprises, right?
It's an import. It's an international approach. Yeah,
there you go.
Right. So, so Clemson is certainly going to be, I mean, well, with all due respect to our good friends, the Orangemen at Syracuse, didn't mean to diss on them.
No.
But I'm kind of looking forward to, you know, Clemson, and then I'm looking at Florida.
Yeah.
Now, Florida's had its share of woes of late. Any thoughts you want to have there or share with us about the Florida matchup?
Yeah, I think it's a long way off, and a lot can change between now and then. But just the big thing to me that you see when you watch them, and with the way Florida State's schedule has worked out, I've actually got to see Florida play a few times, probably more than anybody else, just because their times have been different than Florida State. So I actually get to sit down and watch them.
Yeah.
They believe that they're good, and I think that's probably the biggest thing that Jim McElwain, their new coach, has done is just instilled that belief and that confidence in them, because they always had talented players. They had talented players under Will Muschamp, but now they believe that they're good enough to win those games. And you saw, you know, they went to LSU, and with a backup quarterback, you know, certainly gave LSU all that they could handle.
Right.
And you know, there were some games they were down for the count against Tennessee. They had a tough one against Kentucky. Had a tough one against East Carolina.
Right.
You know, it's not as if they're a juggernaut, at least not yet. But they have the confidence and belief necessary, I think, that you have to have as a foundation to be a good team. I'll say this, you know, looking at their schedule, there's a good chance they don't lose between now and the end of the season when they play Florida State. And if they are, you know, 10-1 welcoming in a 10-1 or 11-0 Florida State team, man, that game's going to be a bear.
You bring that to our attention, that belief factor, and it makes me think, too, about how Winston brought that level of confidence, if you want to call it swagger. I think it was just more a matter of, well, of course we're going to win.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to happen. And he translated that into his behavior with the rest of his players.
Yeah.
Do you see Everett doing that same thing with
I think so. I think they're definitely different personalities.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? But right. Look, I mean, here's a guy who's had a lot of success at the college level at a big time program in Notre Dame. So it's maybe leadership styles are different, and I think maybe it takes a little while longer to get acclimated. Because remember, he's the new kid in school,
right?
And so you kind of have to earn the trust of your teammates and kind of deserve that, I guess, and command that type of respect. Yeah. But you know, given the fact that the offense has you know, shown, I think, a lot of improvement at just about every position.
Right. Right.
You have to think he plays a part in that.
You saw Coach Trickett over there with the defense working that conversation, and here comes Everett to try to chime in. And he was politely asked, go,
We got this.
But you gotta say then that idea that this is my team, these are my guys, and we're all seems to have come about for him.
Yeah.
He's not the outsider that is the surprise, quarterback kind of guy anymore.
Yeah, and I think that just takes time to build that relationship and that depth. You know, Jameis, even though he was a redshirt freshman, he had been here for a year.
Yeah.
He was the same age as a lot of those players. He was, you know, a lot of those key contributors were sophomores or juniors, and he was a redshirt freshman. So they were all, everybody was in their second or third year in the program. Mm-hmm. So they knew him. They had a foundation with him. Everett came in, you know, and you have to build those relationships. And in Florida State's case, I had to build them in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. So, Florida State football playing tonight, Georgia Tech at Georgia Tech. Game starts at 7 o'clock.
7 p.m.
And
on the dose, ESPN2.
Yeah, ESPN2. So, Tim Linnefelt, you will be there keeping us abreast with your Twitter announcements and other such means, and we'll be watching carefully as you and I, all of us, then enjoy Florida State tonight, Florida State football. Any thoughts about the point spread?
I don't know what it is. I really don't know what it is.
Any thoughts about what you think will be the final score?
I don't know yet. It usually takes me a little while to.
You better hurry up.
I know.
We only got a few hours left.
It takes me a while to get a full read on it.
All right. Well, I'll expect a personal email or maybe a.
I will fire it over to you. You can read it on there.
All right, folks. Tim Linnefelt, our good buddy, the Linnefelt Sports Report, courtesy of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We've got ABC News coming up here at the top of the hour, and we will continue with the rest of this here fine radio show. So stay with me. Thanks, Tim.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Sue Semrau, head coach of Florida State women's basketball team.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're in the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your humble host here, along with the wild man, King Keba, at the helm, back there in the control room to try to keep us all between the lines. Not an easy job when you have as much going on around as we do. With all of the stories to tell you and people who are telling those stories, we've had with us in the first hour there Tracy Marple and Miriam telling us about her business spotlight guest there, Nate Prosser with Tallahassee Nurseries. By the way, if you've missed any of the show, you can always go online. TallahasseeTalks.com is there for you. Lots of ways you can participate. If you want to listen to it from the website, you can do that. You can download the show to your phone or to your laptop or your tablet. You can follow the podcast. It's available through Google Play. It's available through download with iPhones. Yeah, you can get it in a lot of different ways. And that's a cool thing because, you know, we're all busy and maybe you're not up bright and early on a Saturday morning. So, and then we do a replay of the show on Saturday nights on Moose Magnificat, which is an internet radio station. We're proud to be associated with them. Moose Magnificat is available online. You can simply Google Moose Magnificat. You'll listen to it online that way, again, on your laptop or tablet or computer. Or you can listen through a TuneIn. If you have the TuneIn app on your phone, it's a good way to do that. And we're on at 9:30 Saturday nights, and again on Wednesdays at 5 o'clock. So if you're heading home from work and you want to catch what happened earlier in the week, or you want to hear it again, Lord help you if you need to hear it again, because I can't imagine you doing enduring all of this the first time. But, you know, hey, it is what it is, right? So we'll keep trudging forward with our efforts to bring you news from around town. And, of course, this week the news has been startling on a number of levels with a number of different fronts. Grievous news coming to us from this horrible accident at the Maglab. It takes your breath away, you know, to see an organization that is as magnanimous as is the Maglab and are the people who make that all happen, to suffer such a tragic incident where this worker there was actually killed then in the business of doing what they do. I mean, and it is always a hazardous environment. Science, we might say, is hazardous to some degree, but it's certainly when you're dealing with the kinds of things that they do at the Maglab, there's an additional layer of risk. And so we had one individual there who was killed, and then the other who was injured and then later released from his from the hospital, thankfully, not more seriously than that. The loss of this individual, Glenn Nix, who was very well respected and beloved there. He was killed while working on a magnet construction project shortly after 10 o'clock last Wednesday morning. Folks, it's the closest thing to a natural disaster that you can imagine. The shockwaves that have resonated through the community and it will affect the Maglab, no doubt. It's questionable as to what's going to happen, you know, how all of this will play out over time, because it's a facility that is funded by the National Science Foundation. And they are those, they as an organization, NSF is responsible then for how they are dispensing funds to the various organizations, facilities that operate around the country and even around the world, I suppose. But it leaves us with a few question marks there as to what the fate of the Maglab will be. And we hope, of course, that it can all be resolved and that everything can go forward in a positive way. We'll stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, another explosion happened in which Elmira Magnum, the president of FAMU, has come under scrutiny because of what appears to be the dispensing of funds for personal use. Well, this having to do with renovations that were done on her house, a total of about $370,000 by the latest reports. She claims that it was all approved, couldn't find any evidence of that in any of the records to say, okay, Board of Trustees had signed off on this deal. And then she said, well, but these all were underway when she got hired back in April, and back and forth it went. And, of course, the fact is that the board met earlier in the week. There was this call for her to resign and then simply a vote to fire her. But, wow, what a week in the news. Speaking of other combative situations, of course, Florida State University playing Georgia Tech away tonight on Georgia Tech's home field. If you missed it, Tim was with us in that in our first hour here today talking about the game tonight. And so his prognostication favors Florida State University. But he did point out that their offensive approach is a bit, shall we say, vintage. That Georgia Tech still runs an offense that you don't see much anymore. But the rationale being they're going up against teams that are pretty fast, pretty talented, and they use a strategy there in their offense that is intended to provide a bit of trickeration, I guess, or at least some misdirection among the defensive players that are trying to come up against them. According to Tim, it ain't been working out so well because they've lost the last five straight. But if you, again, if you missed that, you can listen to it online when the show has been completed. You certainly can go and listen from our website for that piece of the action. Elsewhere around town, lots of other fun things going on, perhaps not quite as explosive or combative, but necessarily entertaining. So you've got the ghost tours going on, the ghost walking tours in downtown Tallahassee, with lively performances being held there. And so that's worthwhile checking out. Or you can go over to the FSU Museum of Fine Arts, and they've got a display there of 3D printing of ancient pottery. So that's kind of cool. You know, you've always wondered about this 3D printing thing. Well, you're going to see some examples of that. But most notably that it's of ancient pottery. Okay, very cool. Then you have, let's see, the Accidental Gallery. They have oil painters of American plein air paint out. So oil painters are invited to participate in a plein air event in rural Boston. Okay, well, you'll have to check that one out. I really haven't spent a whole lot of time looking at that. And don't forget, most enjoyably, there's the Scarecrows in the Gardens at McClay Garden State Park. That's going on all day from, looks like, on the way till 5 o'clock. You can go out there and look at all these cool-looking scarecrows, right? Trying to think of people who have kids, especially on something like that. Folks, you stay with me. We've got Tracy Marple and Cherry Barbary coming up here shortly to talk about University Center Club. And Monica McDonald will be here in the last hour of the last half hour of the show to talk about Healthy Start. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
University Center Club provides a unique private club experience, combining the excitement of athletics and the promotion of education in a quality social and business setting. The club offers the finest meeting and banquet facilities in Tallahassee with the added touches of a private club. So says this lovely information that I have in front of me from the good folks at University Center Club. And we have with us this morning Tracy Marple, who, I don't know, does things around there. We'll find out what she does. And then the very lovely Cherry Barbary, who is the membership director. How are you, ladies?
Wonderful.
We're wonderful.
So
thank
good
you for
to
having
see
us
you.
Here today.
You look so much better than I do. Though it's radio, folks, you're going to have to trust me when I say I am working way above my pay grade here with these lovely people who come prepared to tell us the latest happenings. And there's a lot happening over there. We've already discovered just in conversation with you that I think there's some misconceptions going on. Are you aware of this?
We certainly are, and we are anxious to talk to you about that, and because we'd really like to get a different kind of messaging out there.
Yeah.
It is definitely the time to be involved with the University Center Club. There's no question about it.
It is a unique facility. I think your website is accurate in saying there isn't another place like this in not only in Tallahassee but around the region. But hearing you talk, you and Cherry both have talked about how you're perceived. And I hear people say, oh, you know, that's just for rich people, or you have to be a student of the university to go there, or, you know, I would never know why I would ever want to be a member. And I'm thinking, well, that doesn't sound right. So, Cherry, tell us the truth. What's the real story here?
The truth is we are actually a club for the community. We have everyone from alumni to FAMU to our local government officials. We have many members from different walks of life. So we are truly a club for the community. Now, we do house on Florida State University in the heart of Doak Campbell Stadium, but we can accommodate anyone who just has a love of football or needs a use of a private dining room.
And in fact, I find the club to be quite family friendly. You know, it's not just for stodgy old business guys, you know. This is really a place where you come and you bring your family. Maybe you have a wedding reception, right? You guys do wedding receptions?
We do. And actually, over the years, we've actually evolved into more of a family type club. I think when Tracy came on board 10 years ago, it started that evolution. And we have so many family friendly events and different, I mean, birthday parties. We do parties on the terrace for little ones. It's great.
Then the other thing I like to tell us about some of the different, I'll call them facilities. You know, you just have so many different amenities for different reasons, the rooms that you offer and the services you provide. Tell us about that, Tracy.
Well, if we start where that big circular window is when you're looking at our building, that's the third floor.
Yeah.
And that's our beautiful ballroom. It's an 8,000 square foot ballroom. So there's been many, many weddings in there. Everything from a wedding to game day to breakfast with Santa, lots of annual events. And as you work your way up the floors, the fifth floor has four beautiful private rooms that can be used for meetings, and a lot of, I would say a lot of corporate events will happen on that floor.
Very cool.
And then as you continue on up, the sixth floor is where we have our members Osceola Grill, which has that beautiful view right into the stadium. And then we have the two terraces, which each of those are 8,000 square feet.
Magnificent.
Proms happen up there. You know, we do the annual Biletnikoff Award banquet, which happens between the grill and the ballroom.
Right.
So just lots of incredible things. And when we were talking about the family piece a minute ago, one of my favorite things is when a member says, I'm bringing my child to a football game for the first time. And it could be an infant, it could be a five-year-old, it could be a 10-year-old, but they're actually bringing their child to a football game for the first time, and they're coming to the club.
Isn't that very cool? And the way in which you can watch that game varies too, doesn't it? Because you've got the outdoor part of that. What do you refer, is that the balcony, or what do you call that part?
I call it the terrace.
The terrace.
If you were looking at the legal documents,
like
it calls it a deck, but I call it a terrace.
You know, me, I'd say the outdoor hangout place.
Patio.
But terrace has a nice ring to it. I like terrace. So then, Cherry, if I want to be a member, it's really a bit more affordable than perhaps I realized, right?
It really is. We we do a member by invitation. So one of the only requirements that we have is that you be sponsored by a member. Now, here's the cool thing. You don't necessarily have to know a member. We can connect you with an existing member if you do have some interest in that. And we have great rates. We have a very, very affordable rate for our heroes, which is our active military and law enforcement.
That's cool.
And it goes all the way up to our new one membership, which is awesome because it gives you 50% off of your dining anytime you and your family are in the club, plus traveling benefits to more than 300 clubs worldwide.
Can I also speak to the fact that the cuisine that you provide is some of the finest? The culinary artists who display their works are among the best in town, and all of the service people. I can never remember ever having a bad experience and I'm thinking of the grill particularly, because that's where a lot of us hang out at times, right? That must make you feel pretty good that you've got some very able professionals, Tracy, at your side there, who are helping you pull this off.
We have an amazing team, and during football season, we gear up to 250 employee partners. But our executive chef is actually a regional executive chef with Club Corp, and his name is Tim Drown. And our club also has won lots of national awards, not only for operations, but also for our culinary team. And as you walk into the club, if you get off the elevator on the sixth floor and you look to the right, you'll see all of our Circle of Excellence awards, which are total operating club awards.
That's got to be exhausting for you, that you have to go to all of these award ceremonies. And
it's pretty exciting because I was at a conference this summer with the Association of Luxury Suite Directors, and they're all about stadium venues, entertainment venues around the United States. And one of the big conversations was about, what do you do with your venue, your stadium, off-season? And we're sitting here saying, we can tell you what to do with your venue all day long because we operate ours year-round.
Isn't that
marvelous? That's another reason why they're able to do this project, because operating a facility year-round is part of the performa and does help fund the project.
That's fantastic. Ladies, thank you for getting us in tune. I know you didn't get a whole lot of time with us. Will you come back?
We would love to come back.
Keep us posted on your progress. And don't forget to wear gloves, because that concrete will ruin your nails. You know that.
Okay.
If you see Tracy and Cherry out there laying brick, you know, they're just down in there with the rest of us getting it done.
We're up for that.
Absolutely.
Whatever it takes.
Let's just get it done. Yeah. University Center Club, there are our friends here, Tracy and Cherry, who have graciously given of their time and keeping us folks informed as to their progress. We wish you well, ladies. We'll be watching and seeing all the good things happening over there.
Thank you.
Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Folks, stay with me. We've got more coming up. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Kathy Griffin, president of Widden Glass.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The goal of Capital Area Healthy Start is to reduce infant mortality, reduce the number of low birth weight babies, and improve health and development outcomes. Healthy Start does whatever is needed to assure a stable environment is in place before the baby arrives. So home visitors work with the family until the baby turns three. It is the work of Capital Area Healthy Start Coalition right here in Tallahassee, and it is the work of our guest here this morning, Monica McDonald, who has graciously said, yes, I will be on your show and I will tell you everything I can possibly think of about this wonderful organization, Capital Area Healthy Start Coalition. How are you? Nice to have you.
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Monica, I want to say, of all the people I know, you probably know more about healthy babies than anyone else I can think of, or that I might know off the top of my head anyway. And in doing the work that you do, you've been involved in the organization now for a while, some time. But not for years and years. You're maybe like some of us, in which you had a passion and interest and you've gotten involved. How did that all come about?
You know, it was really interesting. I was working as an advisor counselor on one of the campuses, and I worked with students a lot, you know, kind of helping them get through whatever issues might be impacting their academics. And then I saw this opportunity with Healthy Start, and I was like, wow, that's really interesting. I am new to the maternal child health world.
I see.
But I have friends and family who have experienced the loss.
I see.
So it was kind of a good tie for me.
There was a personal connection there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so went in for the interview, and it went well because I'm here.
You are. And does that personal side of it for you continue to push you forward?
It does. And even more so, hearing more of the stories from the people in the community that have dealt with it and working with some of the the care coordinators who go into the homes. As I learn more, it becomes more of a passion and an interest for me.
When you talk with those care coordinators, the people that are out there doing the home visits, right? Mm-hmm. What do you learn?
The needs are vast. It is everything from just a mom who needs help with learning or adjusting to breastfeeding to a mom who needs help managing her newborn baby and her four-year-old. Uh-huh. So the needs that are in the home really are based off the family, and the care coordinators try to meet those needs to make sure the family has what they need, and in turn, the babies and the toddlers are getting what they need.
Are they keeping their eyes open then in that situation when they see a situation that is not good and they're aware of the fact that a child's needs are not being met? That's got to be a bit awkward.
I would assume so.
How do they handle that? I mean, do they come back to you and say, hey, we got a real problem here. What do we do kind of thing?
Well, we have what is called a QA/QI director at our office, and her name is Sandy Glazer, and she works directly with the care coordinators.
I see.
And she would deal more with what is the next step if one of the care coordinators sees something in the home that is not safe.
Yeah.
In Florida, if we see any type of abuse, we are obligated to report
immediately. Yeah, right.
So if that were the case, we would have to do that. And then the care coordinator would work with that family, if possible, and get them connected to other resources that may address those kinds of issues more in depth than what we do.
You know, that's a good point. A lot of us, I think a lot of us don't realize that that is mandated with all of us, that if you suspect that there is abuse going on in a neighbor's home with a child and you don't report that, you in turn are guilty of infraction. You know, you can be held responsible if you knew about this and you didn't say anything. So there's that sort of tough side of it, but the upside maybe is that you really get an opportunity to have a positive influence right there and then, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. There are women who have shared just having someone there to kind of talk them through that process. Being a new parent, we all know children do not come with manuals. So being a new
mine
parent,
did.
Not mine.
I would read it to them every morning.
And did they receive that well?
Well, okay, but it says right here, the daddy is right. It says in the book, the daddy is right. Do what daddy says.
Well, everyone else is
now. We found the problem, haven't we? Yeah. But let's not talk about that anymore.
Well, but I mean, it really helps. When Sandy Glazer, the QIQA director, she shared with me a story when she was doing care coordination. She just had a young lady who was a new mom and was afraid to put the baby down because he was crying. And someone just to come and say, it's okay to lay the baby down in a safe place while you get a glass of water or make a sandwich or whatever it is that you need to do. Self-care is so important when you are caring for someone else. And it's just, you know, little things like that really help a family adjust and, you know, get new to being a new mom or a mom of multiple children. Or, you know, so it's just a lot, and it really depends on the need of the family.
In fact, then, when you by the way, what is QIQA? What is
that? Quality Assurance, Quality Improvement. Sorry.
QAQI. Okay. Quality Assurance, Quality Improvement. How do you get involved? How do you know that your help is needed with a family? Do they have to reach out to you?
No. So there's a process for that. So the state of Florida has, and it's in state law legislation, that every pregnant woman on her first prenatal visit must receive a prenatal risk screen. And what this screen does is it gives the doctor and the patient an opportunity to see what might be some possible risks that could impact your pregnancy.
I see.
So, and the screen is scored, and there are some women who may score into the Healthy Start program. So if they score in, the prenatal provider can talk with them about, hey, maybe you want to get into the Healthy Start program and check out some of the services they offer.
How cool is that?
So that's one way. And then another way is a mom can self-refer. She can say, you know what, I need more help learning about breastfeeding, and I can't really afford the cost at some of these other locations. We offer free breastfeeding education and support. She can call in and say, hey, I would like to be a part of the program for
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Mm-hmm. And by the way, folks, you can do this too. I'm looking at their website. It's capitalareahealthystart.org. And here's a listing, Monica. You've got childbirth education, medical and community referrals, emergency housing. Emotional support.
We work with other agencies that will help
provide those things. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is a connecting piece here, isn't it? Mental health counseling, breastfeeding support, infant care skills, and child development classes, continuing education guidance. And those are just a few of the things that are available to you by means of or through this organization.
Right.
Not that you're necessarily the direct provider.
Right.
Your job is to assess the situation and make sure that this mom has what she needs to make sure this baby has the best chance.
Absolutely.
Right? All the way up until the age of 3 years old.
Absolutely. And a lot of those... the mental health counseling, we're doing that. The parenting education, we do that.
Okay.
Baby care education, we do that. But if it's a service that is outside of our scope, we will connect families to those agencies so they can get those things that they need, like the emergency housing.
Right.
We'd connect them to the right agency.
How long have
you
folks been around, by the way?
Since 1992 for Capital Area Healthy Start. But the Healthy Start Coalition was established by Governor Lawton Chiles in 1991. So there are 32 other Healthy Start coalitions around the state who address the needs for all the counties.
So once again, we got to thank the old the Walking Lawton, I think is what I was trying to say. Walking Lawton, they used to call him. Lawton Chiles, governor of Florida, beloved by so many. And he was referred to as the raccoon or King Coon or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, forgive me. I'm out of my depth there, as usual. Folks, we're listening here to Monica McDonald carry on this conversation in a much more intelligent way than I am. But we're learning about Capital Area Healthy Start and all the good work that they have been doing for these many years now, since 92. Mm-hmm. And we're going to learn more if you'll stay with me. This is why we love having people like Monica come and talk with us. This is another edition, and you are listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, folks. I'm Jerry Thigpen, blues guitar player here in Tallahassee, coming at you for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on 93.
We're back. We're talking with Monica McDonald, who is telling us all about this fantastic organization, Capital Area Healthy Start Coalition. And it's interesting, too, that particular model, in that you're not a state agency as such.
No.
And that has played out well for Florida, I think, in that you have a number of organizations like yours where, a substantial amount of funding does come by way of state disbursement. However, you've pointed out that it's always about a hand-in-hand sort of relationship.
Absolutely.
Where the public is giving you a leg up, and then it's up to you guys to get you further down the road. And you've just done another one of those fundraisers you mentioned here. What was that, a week or so ago?
Right.
The at Cascades Park.
We were over at Lake Ella. This one is not as much a fundraiser. It's called Walk to Remember, and it was last Thursday.
Okay.
But it is one of those events that we. Other fundraising helps us put this event on. And it's for those families in the the Big Bend area, so Gadsden, Jefferson, Taylor, Madison, Wakulla, and Leon, for those families who have experienced a pregnancy or an infant loss.
Oh my.
So unfortunately, that still happens. Yeah. Families are still losing babies. Uh-huh. And sometimes those families are kind of told to just, you know, move on with that.
Yeah.
It's okay, you can have another baby.
Yeah.
And people don't mean to say that in a hurtful manner,
uh-huh.
but we just wanted to provide an opportunity for them to know that we acknowledge your child.
Wow.
We acknowledge the dreams and visions you had for
right.
that baby, and
right.
we want you to come and know that other families have experienced
right.
that as well.
Yeah.
And this is your opportunity to pay homage to your daughter or your son.
That's remarkable,
yeah,
that you folks not only are thinking about those babies mm-hmm. among us,
mm-hmm.
but you're thinking about those parents, those families that have suffered loss.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you're helping them with this whole grieving process.
Absolutely.
At the same time.
Absolutely.
And I would have to say, too, for those of us who look at the life of the unborn and consider that a human life,
mm-hmm.
right? That says a lot to me about the sensitivity
mm-hmm.
that you bring to that situation.
Mm-hmm. Miscarriages tend not to get the same level of attention as maybe a fetal loss where the
yeah.
baby was at least 20 weeks along, or an infant loss where, of course, the baby is alive and has taken a breath and may have passed on.
Right.
But it's still a loss,
right?
You know, and so we want to make sure that those families know we are there for them and that we're continuing to fight infant mortality, pregnancy loss, fetal loss, because, you know, our ultimate goal would be to never have anyone have a loss. Now, medically speaking, there are going to be some losses that we simply have no control over. The mom can be as healthy as possible, and those things will still happen, and there's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah.
But for those losses that we can prevent, that is our primary purpose for existing.
Objective,
yeah. We want to get those numbers down so that families don't have to come to this walk.
There you go.
You know, we love giving the walk, but if we don't have to have families coming,
you want to work yourself out of
reason,
that part of the job.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
how
so.
Is that going? Infant mortality rates, let's say, in the Big Bend area, are they on the decline or?
You know, they fluctuate. We get rates each year, but it's better to look at it across 3 years. So we had been declining in Leon County.
Mm.
And then this year, for the 2014 year, the numbers went up.
Wow.
It went up to 7.1 compared to the state, compared to last 2013,
yeah.
which was 5.3. So there was a jump up, and it's higher than the state average, which is at 6.0, which is the lowest the state has been in a long while. And then it's even higher than the national average just here in Leon County.
Why is that?
That is why we do what we do. We are researching. We have found everything from poor preconception health, which is the health of the body before becoming pregnant,
yeah.
Chronic disease such as diabetes,
uh-huh.
obesity, you know, gum disease. Those kinds of things impact the body. But if you're not pregnant, you're not necessarily
uh-huh,
thinking about
uh-huh.
being pregnant.
Right.
So our goal is to get women to think about pregnancy before it happens.
Hmm.
So if that's not until 6 months from now or 6 years from now,
hmm.
now is the time for you to get your body as healthy as possible to carry a baby full term.
You know, I have to say I'm reminded of this research that came out months ago, Harvard University, a couple of social researchers, demographers, looking at the entrenchment of poverty across the country in various communities. Leon County was number one
yeah.
in that capacity for this entrenchment, in which if you are born in Leon County, the chances of you ever making more money than your parents are pretty dismal. That has to say something to you when you think about the women who would love to have the kind of health care they need, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have the resource.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what's interesting about that? While that is certainly something that we keep our eyes on, what we have found, we run a project called the Fetal Infant Mortality Review Project.
Okay.
And what we do with that, is, and we call it FEMR, for short. Okay. What we do with that is we take a look at the death cases up to about 30 from the previous year, and we meet monthly and say, okay, what happened in this pregnancy that the mom lost the baby? Mm-hmm. And we look at all those things. And what we found is that infant mortality is not a respecter of income, of education, of race. The women were across the board. We had some women who had no high school diploma up to a master's degree. They were Black, they were white, they were Hispanic. They had high income, they had low income. So what that says to us is that it truly boils down to how can we get the community to focus on being healthy overall before the pregnancies occur. Because 50% of all pregnancies, the CDC says 50% of all pregnancies across the board are unplanned. So if it's unplanned, that means you've done nothing to prepare your body to carry this life for, you know, 39, 40 weeks. And so that's really been a push that we're going for now, is thinking about those pregnancies before they occur. And this is not to say that infant loss is the mother's fault. We absolutely don't want that to be the image. Mm-hmm. But if we can get the mom and her partner healthy before they decide to have a child, we may be able to see a decrease in infant mortality or fetal deaths.
Or keeping that in front of them, at least. Because, as you say, they may not be planning on having a child.
Right.
But, guys, it still kind of works the same way it has always.
If you're not preventing a pregnancy, you're pretty much
you're opening the door there for God to kind of do what God does.
Exactly. And,
yeah.
Exactly.
All right, folks. I think you understand where we're coming from here. Well, Monica McDonald, our very good friend and a guest this morning, who has brought us good news about this marvelous organization, Capital Area Healthy Start Coalition. You can find them online at capitalareahealthystart.org. And we will give Miss Monica McDonald our blessing. Thank you for
thank
your
you
good
so
work.
Much.
And thank you for being our guest this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Folks, this is why we love to do this. It makes it possible for us to learn more and more about Tallahassee, this very cool place where very cool people are doing very cool things. Our guest this morning, Monica McDonald. You stay in tune with us over the weeks coming up. We've got lots and lots more coming your way. This program is the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising right here in Tallahassee. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be back again next Saturday looking for you. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Truck and Car Concepts. Smokin' hot summer savings are going on now. Get your free tailgate pong game with your purchase of any item $500 or more. A free tailgate pong game for your next tailgating party.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game this week with your purchase of any item $500 or more at Truck and Car Concepts. Smoking hot summer savings going on now.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.